I'll just begin by praying. Father God, I thank you this morning once again that we are in your presence, and ask you, Lord God, that you would bless and strengthen me by your Spirit to deliver your word, that this would be nothing of myself, but be your word, Lord, testifying and showing us, Lord God, your holiness for the second time in this series of talks. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The last time I felt this nervous about doing a talk was a funeral. It gives you some idea of, like Tali said last week, you know, when you're studying the holiness of God, it is not something you can do lightly. It's not a talk that you can introduce a lot of lightheartedness into. It is a serious subject that we're speaking on, and one that has to be dealt with, I think, in a very appropriate manner. And last week, Tali spoke about the holiness of God. He started it, and you know, we make no excuse for how we deliver what God has shown us. And sometimes it might feel a bit raw, it might feel a bit hard-hitting, it might feel that we're getting at somebody or people, but we're not. In fact, if anything, and Tali will testify to this, that we're getting at ourselves more than anybody else in the church. Because to consider yourself even to be the slightest bit holy when you're preaching in this should really bring you down to your knees and see that, in fact, we, of our own selves, actually we have no holiness. The only reason we are holy is because God has made us holy through Jesus, but that's for another talk. So last week, Tati started the series on the holiness of God and made it clear it's not about seeking to offend anyone, like I said, but rather endeavours to correct a wrong view of God that some of us have, and and enable us to understand who God is a little bit better. This is going to be really, really tough. So, we know our Father God is holy. We know Jesus is holy. We know the Holy Spirit is holy. And we know the Lord God Almighty, like Tali said from Revelation, is holy, holy, holy. And I think he said this morning it was 9 times in the original transcript. Tali explained holy means that God is completely separate from sin in a class of his own. He is completely separated from sin. There is no sin to be found in God's presence whatsoever. He is perfect, free from all the moral imperfections, corruptions, and failures that you will see in this earth amongst human beings today. He is absolutely separate from evil and cannot tolerate sin. Therefore, when we say we have a word from the Lord, we have received it in the fear of the Lord. Tali said last week that unless you receive that word in fear and fall on your knees with your hands outstretched, the likelihood is that it is a motive of yourself and you did not receive that from God. And that is really hard to listen to because many people come with the words of the Lord. And Tali said last week that many come with the words that are always meant with the best intention. They don't want to hurt you or harm you. They're coming with a kind of an encouragement to sometimes to build you up or to give you insight. On the other hand, I've received a few words that Tati spoke about last week in that back, and words that can do more damage than people could ever comprehend. Now, I want to give you a list of people, and this is by no means to worry you, but here is a list of people who have audibly heard from God. Now, if you're in this category, you're in excellent company. So here we go. Jacob, Joshua, Samuel, King David, Solomon, Elijah, Isaiah, Jonah, Ezekiel, Joshua, Jeremiah, Zechariah. I mean, there are just a few of the names of the Bible of people who heard directly from God. Now, if you say to me, you hear directly from God, that is the company that you tell me that you're keeping. Be careful, I would say, from now on, how you declare that you hear from the Lord. Because the likelihood is that it is so many times of yourself. And I would say that if it is more of yourself, to say that it is a word of encouragement or a word to build up, rather than tagging on, it is from God, or I just heard this from God, and I don't want to replicate Taddy's talk from last week in any way. So today we are looking at the holiness of God and how he should be approached. And this is something I think that the church has lost sight of once more. Let's face it, people are more interested in bowing down to man and giving respect to them than they are to bowing down before God. People bow down before the Pope and kiss his holy ring and treat him like a god instead of worshipping the God that he is supposed to be honouring. The world seeks to honour man and what he can gain instead of worshipping God and seeking to be made more holy. I'm going to look at a brief encounter that God had with Moses, and I'm going to do it in three snapshots. It's going to be three small readings along the way. And it is going to show you something of God's holiness, and it is going to show you something of man's failure in holiness. Moses is a man who was guilty of murder. That's the first thing you got to remember about Moses. Moses was not in any way perfect. He was guilty of murder. He fled from the scene, and he had to go elsewhere. And then God decides to choose Moses to be the man to lead the people out from Egypt, from their suffering and their afflictions from Pharaoh. Isn't it amazing that God uses someone who is guilty of crime and murder? And the first encounter that Moses has with God is when he speaks to Moses out of the burning bush. And this is found in Exodus chapter 3. And this is an unbelievable, and I was even questioning God about this journey. I was saying, God, did you really speak out of a burning bush? And it's just one of those things. So I'm going to read very quickly a few verses. So this is the encounter of God coming to Moses. Moses has been tending the flock of Jethro in chapter 3. And in verse 2 it says this, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will turn now aside and see this great sight. Why does this burn? This bush does not burn. And so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Now this is a remarkable account. Moses on Mount Horeb, God reveals himself to him in a way that we would find incomprehensible. The burning bush, God appearance in it in the form of man. And the bush itself was more likely to be like that of a bramble or a thorn bush in that area. And the bush was burning, and the form of an angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in the flame. And this, actually, this is really interesting. This is the first time in the Bible that the word holy is referred to or used to God. First time. And at the burning bush, God revealed his holiness in a way that has never been revealed before or to any other person. And there are several reasons why God revealed himself to Moses out of the burning bush. The first is God reveals himself as a fire, and that it is an image of holiness. All through the Bible, fire is used as a picture of purifying and refining the quality of God's holiness. So God is holy, and in fire we have that picture, imagery of holiness. And God commands Moses to remove his sandals, for the place where he was standing is holy ground. And here God was emphasizing to Moses the gap between the divine and the human. God is transcendent in holiness, so Moses was not allowed to come close to him. There was a gap, a division where Moses could come towards God. And the word holiness involves separation, and God's holiness means that he is set apart from everything he has made. He is set apart from everything. It is the distinction between the creator and the creature, the distance between God's deity and our humanity. There is a gap that exists. And God says, I am God and not man, the Holy One among you. It's in Hosea. And there is no one holy like the Lord, and that's in Samuel. And it's just trying to put in the context just how holy God really is. And God revealed himself to Moses out of the burning bush as an image of his glory. Purpose was to show the majesty of God and to somehow strengthen Moses, because Moses was being chosen at this point to do a job for God. He was going to lead the people of Israel out of the oppression that they were under, and God was choosing Moses. It wouldn't be soon after this that God again would show his holiness and his glory to the entire nation of Israel. And God would later show himself as a pillar of fire, a consuming fire that would radiate light and guide the people of Israel through the wilderness as they traveled. So God would appear in these different forms. Moses had been set apart to do the will of God and to obey his voice. And this is really the setting of my talk this morning. God came to Moses and revealed something of his holiness to him to help him understand who God really is. And Moses was a humble man. He sought to do God's will, and he sought to completely obey him and to obey his voice, even when it seemed that the children of Israel would never be set free, because he was trying to bring them out of Egypt. You know, all the times that he had to go before Pharaoh, it just seemed like he was never going to get anywhere. Then he gets them out and into the wilderness, and then we have the children of Israel who begin to complain against him. And Moses was a man who relied upon God and knew that he could do nothing without his power and his strength. Now, let's not forget that Moses was reluctant to be the mouthpiece of God. He did not want to be the man that God was choosing. And he put up all kinds of excuses. I am not eloquent of voice. People will not believe me. The list but a few. But now he's in the desert. This is where he's going to be going. And the people of Israel are moaning and complaining when he gets them into the desert about the lack of food in the wilderness and how they were better off back in Egypt. So I put you very quickly forward here to your time when everybody's moaning at Moses, gurning about him, gurning at him. Moses is the leader. And Moses would have to travel with these people carrying the tabernacle of God. And I'm just bringing this in at this minute because I'm going to have to come to this. But there was the tabernacle of God that they were carrying. And this was the place where God would meet the people on earth when they set it up. And it is at the door of the tabernacle that the Lord speaks to Moses in one of the most important conversations of his life. This is the second snapshot of Moses' life that I'm going to look at today, and it's my main reading, and it's in Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 to 23. I can read it. Moses Exodus 33, verses 12 to 23. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have found also grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I find grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." And he said, "Please show me your glory." Then he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live." And the Lord said, "Here is a rock. Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So shall it be when my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass. Then I will take my hands, and then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, and my face shall not be seen." This is one of the most important passages in Moses' life. It is at the point where it says that the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And Moses then speaks to God in a way that seems brazen, as a way that he seeks reassurance from the Lord in relation to how he is going to do what he is going to do and where he is going to go. And it's moments like this in our life that we need to know if God is with us, and how do we know? Often we hear people call out to God and that they ask God, "Will you give me reassurance? Lord, are you there? Are you helping me? Are you going to be with me?" In the 11th hour, I had someone speaking to me during the week in a conversation, and they said, "But why does God always leave it to the 11th hour? Why can't God do these things before that period of time? Why does he have to bring me down to the wire? And I said, because that is the grace of God in your life, that he even intervenes to change these things for you. And Moses says this to God, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And God replies, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. As if that is not enough, God takes it one step further. And he says in verse 17 to Moses, I know your name. How wonderful to hear that God knows your name. For us this morning in Shiloh, God knows every one of us by name. He is our friend, he is our companion, and he is with us everywhere we go. And today we have the same promise that Moses was given, in that we have Jesus as our closest friend, and he is closer than a brother. And then Moses goes another step forward. I mean, Moses kept pushing. Always kept pushing. If you read the story of Exodus, you'll see Moses is always pushing. And he goes a step further, and he says to God, show me your glory. Show me your glory. He sought to see something that no one else had ever seen. If you want to see the holiness of God, you want to see the glory of God. He is thirsting for a clearer view of God. He is hungry to see more of God. He wants it revealed in his life. And yet he is so brazen to say, Lord, show me your glory. Show me your holiness. As if the moment in the burning bush wasn't enough. And this should be the cry for every believer in here today. Show me your glory. I want more of you, Lord. I want more of you in my life. I have failed you this week and this month. And Lord, I want to have your glory. I want to see your glory. I want your holiness. Because my holiness is useless. It's not worth 2 pennies. Lord, I want your glory. But we know that no one has ever seen God's face and lived. And so the Lord takes Moses, he puts him in the cleft of a rock, he covers him with his hand as he passes by. And then when he removes his hands, Moses is able to see the glory of God as it passes. And he has given us a sight that no one else has seen before. He sees God's Shekinah glory, God's splendor, divine godliness passing him by. What an amazing, amazing sight that must have been. Here is Moses, a man who is standing in the presence of God's holiness and the glory of God. God has revealed to Moses his holiness at the burning bush. He has revealed to him who he was, I am who I am. And he has revealed that he is with him, and that he is more than that he is his friend. I know you by name. This is the pinnacle of Moses' career, the moment when he has tasted something of God's holiness that some of us will never taste, to be in the place, to be in his presence, and to see him face to face. This is it. But after all of this, Moses will fall at the final hurdle. After serving the Lord in this way, and it sounds unbelievable that this would happen. And I'm not going to ask you to turn this. I'm just going to read a few verses from Numbers chapter 20, verses 6 to 13. I'm going to read it in 1 second. This is my third snapshot of Moses' life. And I would hate God to take snapshots of my life, because it would never measure up to the mark here that Moses had lived. Moses has his hands full of rebellious people. While he is trying to serve a holy God. He is trying to serve God and holiness, and the people are playing the harlot. They're going against God. They're always complaining and moaning. And he is trying to do what he can best. And Moses is once more confronted by the people complaining about the lack of water. Now in Exodus, it's already happened. They complained about the water and the food, and God provided the quail and the manna. And in Numbers, he faces it once more. And this is what happens in chapter 20, verses 6 to 13. It says this, he's with Aaron. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give them drink to the congregation and their animals. Simple. Moses and Aaron go, they've had enough by the sound of it. They fall down before God at the tabernacle that I spoke about earlier to try and bring it in. The meeting place of God, they fall down on their faces, hands outstretched. The glory of God comes and he speaks with them. And this is what Taddy was speaking about last week. The reverence given and shown before a holy God. They don't just walk into the tabernacle willy-nilly and say, God, this is what's happening out there and you better do something about it. They fall on their faces at the door before they even enter. The reverence shown to a holy God. And again, Moses at this point is doing everything right. The utmost sense of being rendered useless in the presence of God. Nobody goes into the presence of God full of what I can do and how great I am. You enter the presence of God with your hands on the ground and your face in the dust. God tells Moses to take the rod with Aaron in the presence of the children. That means just basically gather them together. And speak to the rock and yield its water. People were thirsty and Moses needed to bring them the water. Moses lifts his rod and he strikes the rock twice and water came out abundantly. And at that moment you would think, yes, Moses, you've done it. But God spoke to Moses, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. What Moses did when he struck the rock was unthinkable. For a man like him, who hears God's voice, to understand what God is saying to him, to know the holiness of God, he struck the rock with his rod. He was a privileged man to stand in God's presence, and yet in this account we see that his anger and his frustration spills out. Moses could not have mistaken God's word. He was a man that knew God's voice and responded to it. The people of Israel were to witness what God was going to do with the rock and the water, miraculously pouring out from the rock the much-needed blessing. But Moses was struck it with his rod and he was rebuked by God in that he was told he would never enter the promised land and die in the wilderness. A punishment that was harsh for a man who up to this point lived his life and fully served God. So what did Moses do wrong? God specifically instructed Moses to speak to the rock, that the children of Israel would believe in God and he would be hallowed in their eyes. The word hallow here is the same meaning as holy. And so Moses did not hallow God's name in the eyes of God of Israel. He did not make his name holy. After everything we've spoken of about holiness, and he failed to make God's name holy in the eyes of Israel. He took glory to himself in saying to the people, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Must I do this for you? He called the people rebels, speaking to them and not to the rock. God said, speak to the rock. He spoke to the people. And in his indignation and passion, he hit the rock twice. And all of this was done in disobedience and unbelief. You know, just a quick reminder to leaders, and this is to myself. Leaders need to know how to act in times of extreme pressure and how to act in a godly and holy manner. If people manage to wind us up, like the children of Israel wound up Moses, we often boil up. We often react in ways that probably aren't seen as godly. We may say things that aren't holy. We may do things that seem contrary to the word of God. And we can make an absolute disaster out of it. We've got to be careful as leaders to look at what Moses has done and how he did it and got it wrong so badly. Moses heard directly from God and in the last snapshot decided to ignore him. How many people today can actually hear from God but decide to ignore him? This is the flip side of last week's talk. If God tells you to do something, You better do it. How often have we heard people being told to do something, like Jonah, for example, to do something and completely decide to go against God's will? But this morning, and I'm trying not to be too hard on ourselves, we are holy this morning. We are a holy nation, and why? Because we've been separated by God, set apart to Him. And that is it. There's nothing more I can be, make me holy. The only thing that makes me holy is that God has separated me to Him because of Jesus. And yes, we may disobey God and do things out of frustration. We may hit the rock like Moses, but I'm still holy. I may let God down, but I'm still holy. I may do terrible things, but I am still holy. But we will face consequences of our disobedience. But that does not remove the holy relationship that we have with God through Jesus. I have a holy relationship based on everything that God has done and nothing of myself. It is bad when we declare a word from the Lord which is of the flesh. However, I would suggest it is more terrifying to hear from God and refuse to obey Him. So to try and summarize, we need to listen to God when He speaks and understand that He is holy, holy, holy. And if you should be one of the few that God speaks to, you should in fear bow down before His face on the floor with your hands outstretched and listen to what He tells you. Only a few have ever heard the voice of God, and only one or two have ever seen His face. If you ever heard from God and do not do as He has said, you are disobeying a holy God. I, to my shame, have disobeyed a holy God. If you refuse to obey God's voice, He may not speak to you in the same way again. And again, I can testify to that. To say that you hear from God and spew out so-called words from Him, you are walking on fearful ground. And you will be held accountable for every word that you give out, for every word that you've spoken in a congregational forum. For everything that you've declared or spoken over, you will stand accountable for the good or for the bad of what you have said. Your words may cause more damage than a sword to the heart and the wounds that may never heal. Some people with the words that they say are from the Lord have done more damage to a person than having their wrists slit. Let us be a people this morning that desire to hear God's voice and strive to live in His holy standards. Let us put aside our thoughts of the flesh and instead speak the words of encouragement and the words that build up rather than the words that knock down. This morning I heard it read out, "The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord." To have a righteous and holy fear of God is the foundation that we should be building upon in Shiloh today. Consider every thought that you have and every word that you declare, and make sure you bring it before the holy God. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the tremendous fear that it should drive into us, not because a fear that would make us cower down and run away, but a fear that should make us understand, make us responsible for everything that we say and everything that we declare. Make us accountable, Lord, before You for all the things that we're doing. Help us to watch our lips. Be careful with our tongue. Help us, Lord, to declare the holiness of God above all. Never let us disobey You. Never let us turn away from You. And never let us try to glorify ourselves. Help us, Lord God, to put You first and foremost in all that we do. To serve Jesus with all our heart. And to listen tentatively to the Holy Spirit to guide us in all that we do. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.